Chuck, thank you so much for agreeing to have a conversation with me today. I think it's really significant that it is 2014, the year of the horse. I know people throughout the world are have very personal dreams and hopes about this and the way that humanity is evolving in their relationship with horse. So I know you have a very unique method of training and being with horses, and I just, you know, had some questions and wanted to chat with you about it. So thank you.
Amber, well, ask away.
Okay, well, first off, what is friendship training?
Oh, boy. Multifaceted, multi-levels, what is friendship training? Okay, FT is based on common sense and logic, combined with empirical, ethological, and scientific knowledge, and a deep love and appreciation for the horse. It's a philosophy, it's a way of life, where we constantly strive to give our horse the best life possible. It's also an opportunity for a horse and a human to share the deepest levels of intimacy possible.
You know, I think that's an interesting word to use, intimacy. We hear so much about partnership and connection. Why intimacy?
Well, intimacy is sort of all-encompassing. An intimate relationship isn't necessarily sexual or even physical. It can be an interpersonal, emotional relationship. When a horse and a human share this depth of bonding, they literally know each other inside and out. They completely understand each other and are sympathetic to each other's feelings and needs. Their communication and understanding is like a married couple who finish each other's sentences. The respect they hold for each other is the same reverent feeling we have for someone we care very much about. So, an intimate relationship shared by a horse and a human ensures both will experience the greatest degree of safety, peace of mind, and enjoyment in the special time they share together.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Way beyond just simple process. So I know that everyone would surely want that. How is friendship training different from, say, clicker training?
Well, I think positive reinforcement is great. The old saying that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar definitely applies to horses, just like it does to humans. Mm. They're just as susceptible to kindness rather than threats and intimidation as we are. I believe there's quite a bit of scientific documentation substantiating that positive reinforcement has a much longer lasting effect than punishment also. Perhaps one of the differences is that we use our voice to communicate to build a bridge language and shape the relationship. That way we can micro-tailor expressing our feelings by simply altering the volume and tone of our voice and our facial expression. Our thinking and time with our horse should be as pure as in the moment and unfettered as possible. Any type of tool would interfere with those optimum levels of closeness and intimacy. And two, we have many FT family members who are extremely proficient using clicker training with their horses and other animals. But none of them ever chose to go back to using clicker training with their horses after taking a horse through the FT program.
Well, that says something. Then how is the friendship training different from natural horsemanship?
Well, perhaps the first difference is our goal and intent. The object of friendship training is nurturing and preserving our horse's spirit, as well as sharing the most intimate relationship we can with them. So, trapping them and forcing them to do something using intimidation or pressure is out of the question. FT uses food to create a motivation and desire to do something without using any kind of aids or tools. Horses are prey animals. Their primary method of survival is flight. Trapping or restricting them where they do not feel free to run at a moment's notice evokes stress hormones, which in turn not only inhibits learning, but also elicits a sort of one-sided forced confrontational relationship. That's why all our teaching and learning is done in an open, completely restriction-free area like a pasture. Freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom of choice are absolute essentials. Another difference is proxemics.
Proxemics?
Yeah, proxemics is a study of spatial requirements of humans and animals. In other words, the distance to others that may make us feel comfortable or uncomfortable depending on who it is and how close or far away they are to us. It's divided into four areas called intimate zone, personal zone, social zone, and public zone. The intimate zone is touching to about 18 inches. One of the first things FT wants our horse to learn is that we're overjoyed any time they decide to enter our intimate zone. Combined with rewards instead of intimidation or punishment, it's a defining turning point in the relationship itself. I assume both clicker training and natural horsemanship, like FT, are pro-bitless. And I think that's great. But FT does things a bit differently by establishing a bitless relationship on the ground before ever mounting up. That way there's no need to use a bitless bridle that creates any type of pressure or discomfort. There are other differences, such as the awareness of the laws of intent, attraction, and appreciation that come into play, as well as the spiritual potential of the horse-human relationship. But the short answer is that holding another sentient being against their will would be counterproductive to sharing a loving, caring, intimate relationship with them.
That's incredible. You have just touched on so many levels, and I think all of us want a friend like that. So what are some of the first things that someone using FT would do with their horse?
The very first thing they'll do with their horse is nothing. All that's done for the first month or so is sharing time with them in that completely open area like a pasture that I mentioned before. During that time, they also learn more about horses to gain a deeper understanding of their own horse going through the study curriculum. That first area of study has three parts. We start with the works of world-renowned equine ethologists because they've devoted a lifetime of studying horses in their natural environment.
Why ethologists first?
Well, ethologists study horses and animals in their natural environment. When you stop and think about it, all we ever see is our horse in their domestic environment. That gives us a rather one-sided or one-dimensional perception of our horse. So if we really want to understand them, to see the world through their eyes, then we have to learn more about their world and the instinctive needs Mother Nature gave them. Then we can better understand what the repercussions and consequences are for being so alienated from that world.
That sounds like a wonderful basis. And the second area of learning?
Well, some of us are visual learners, and actually watching horses in their natural environment gives us a deeper understanding and appreciation of their love, rather than just reading about it. So the second part is the documentary series of the 17-year life story of a Mustang stallion named Cloud by Ginger Catherines. There is no purer, more unadulterated visual depiction of the horse's natural world on the face of the earth. From those, we learn how important relationships are in their world and how one special type of relationship has nothing to do with horsemanship, but everything to do with a horse and a human sharing a truly intimate friendship.
Oh, now you've intrigued me. Which relationship is that?
Well, ethologists have numerous names for it. Pure attachment, pair bonds, preferred associates are a few. They're commonly called horse buddies or horse pals. In that relationship, herd rank is inconsequential. The specific companionship of each other is all important to them.
Knows that we're not another horse.
Definitely. Their senses are much keener than ours, so I'm sure they can tell men from women as well. In fact, They can even detect our heartbeat. Look at it this way. If you found yourself in a foreign country where no one spoke English or your native language, and someone walked up to you smiling, shook your hand, and gave you a gentle hug, even if you didn't understand the words, it would be a starting point for a friendship. From then on, it would simply be a matter of building a bridge language that would allow us both to converse with each other. That's why we use our hand and our voice together for building a bridge language. Horses, majority of the horses' communication is body language. So this helps them to associate the word with an action.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And the third part of the learning?
The third part is where the fun starts. We call them friendship training exercises, or FTXs.
And what are they?
Oh, they're a series of very simple, very easy to understand, and very easy to do activities with their horse. They're done in the same completely open area like a pasture I mentioned before. We call the area our FT classroom because in the process of teaching our horses these very simple things, we learn not only more about them as individuals, but ourselves as well. Given the opportunity, horses make excellent teachers.
Yes, they do. And I've got a feeling they wrote this curriculum. So, what else might a student expect to encounter in your training?
A life experience unlike anything they could imagine, and a connection with their horse beyond anything they dreamed of.
Oh my goodness, now you've got me tearing up. It's a dream of every true horse person. That's incredible, Chuck. I just can't wait to hear more, and I hope that, you know, you just keep putting it out there. So, and I know that many people love, benchmarks in their learning. Is there some kind of certification with your program?
Yeah, the initial program is for those who want to help their horse enjoy the best life possible and share that deep connection with them. There's also professional certification for those who want to help other horse owners share that special relationship with their horse.
Oh, wonderful. So what are the qualities that you look for in a student?
An open mind and heart, and a deep commitment to give their horse the best life they possibly can.
Perfect. Do they have to have a certain level of experience with horses?
Not at all. It's actually easier for those with no preconceived notions or beliefs to overcome.
Yeah, we do come with baggage, but it sounds like you've got things in place to help us move through that. So are there special breakthroughs, milestones, I mentioned benchmarks, that the student is aiming for as they progress?
I think the special breakthroughs they can expect to see is the turnaround, the transformation in their horse as each defensive emotional layer is lifted, and the horse comes to the realization that their human caretaker is truly different and wants their friendship and trust more than anything in the world.
Wow, I wish every horse on the planet could feel that. So as far as the human student, what kind of support do you give your students?
As much as needed by email, Skype, or phone. In fact, the first month or so, it's strongly suggested that they send in daily reports for support. After that, it's on an as-needed basis.
That's incredible that we can get it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak, or your mouth. But, you know, Chuck, I have watched some of your YouTube videos, and I have to say I'm amazed at the connection and the mutual affection that you have with your horses. Your stallion, he nickers with joy as he runs to you. It's just coming out of him. Like a flower has to be a flower. He's so full of joy, it just ripples out. And they give you hugs and kisses. And, you know, we all love our horses, but I've got to say, it's rare to see the horses walk back. They are so engaged. And what's your secret?
There is no sacred. I love, appreciate, and respect them for what they are. Sensitive, caring individuals far from their homeland. Anyone that shares an FT relationship with their horse can experience that same connection and mutual affection.
Wow, far from their homeland. And I can relate. I think sometimes we just don't realize what it's like from their end. And I just love that you are their voice. So as a species, humans are beginning to understand and appreciate the inner energy that they bring to the relationship with a horse. So do you recommend like a specific state of being that the human is in? Like for instance, what if we're out of sorts that day? We're anxious or we're angry. Is it okay to go to your horse in that state?
Approaching a horse in anger is out of the question. If something's gone wrong in our lives, the horse shouldn't have to pay for it. And being angry with a horse for something we perceived as wrong is even worse. If we control every aspect of the horse's life, how can the horse do something wrong? I mean, it's inconceivable.
Right. Lots to think about. So, Chuck, just how did friendship training evolve?
I guess it started many years ago with my being one of those dreaded why children. I found answers like, that's the way it's always done, and because only fueled my curiosity even more. And in retrospect, even as a farm kid, I seemed to have a rather weird experiences with animals.
Oh, for instance?
As I look back, I'm almost embarrassed to recount some of them publicly. Okay. My earliest experience, I remember as a toddler, and I saw a picture that they took of this. They was hearing my mother's screams when she saw me playing with a huge Yorkshire saw that had gotten out of her pen. They said she chased my mother back in the barn. My mother came back out with a pitchfork. The sow stood her ground as though she was protecting me. She was later coaxed back into her pen with a few corn cobs. Chickens would fly up on my arm and talk to me. A sheep that would leave the pasture to follow me all around the farm. A rescued pigeon that would fly to meet me as I bicycled my way home from school and sit on my shoulder. I guess the corporal punishment I got for stealing unsanctioned rides on my grandfather's huge mare when I was only five was part of it too. I was so fascinated and so drawn to the horses. My first mount was a very compassionate Jersey cow who fulfilled an 8-year-old cowboy dreams of riding. The majority of reprimands I received throughout my childhood were for either being late for supper or not finishing my chores because I'd been out in the woods with the family dog. Even at that age, I seemed to prefer animals and nature to humans and civilization. Then later, a seed was planted as an adult horse owner, hearing rumors of an old woman's horses that ran to the round pen to work out. At first I thought, well, that's preposterous, you know, that's just ridiculous. But it only took a little thought, and a few months later, mine were doing the same thing. The why child and that seed really sprouted when I read John Young's plea to all horse owners, especially new ones coming into the world, in his book entitled Schooling for Young Riders. It was like pouring gasoline on a fire. He implored all new horse owners to never be intimidated by the status quo, to think for themselves, and never be afraid to ask why with anything regarding their horses, which is what I did. I asked why we still, after 6,000 years of practice, had so many supposed behavioral issues and bad horse problems. After investing thousands and thousands of hours of ethological and scientific study, I found out why.
Well, I feel like I'm about to find out why, too.
Well, it's because of our present-day commonly accepted practices of management, care, and training that are the actual cause of all those behavioral issues and bad horse problems.
Wow, time for a change. Tell me about this.
Well, it starts almost at birth with early weaning. Horses are no different than any other animal, including humans, and that require a balance of nature and nurture. With early weaning, they're never allowed to learn the precepts of their own specific culture. Then later on in life, they're trapped and confronted with dominance-based training methods using entrapment and fear, and are forced to do things they consider suicidal with no regard of how it affects them. Add changeable herd mates and environments, solitary confinement for many. It's like the perfect storm for making horses appear unpredictable and dangerous, when the exact opposite is true, as they're very logical, caring creatures when given the opportunity.
Yes. Wow. We really need to do things differently, I'm hearing. So how did the horses teach you what you know today?
Well, the horses were trying to teach me all along, but I was blinded by many of the myths of traditional training. I needed more tangible input from ethological and scientific sources so I could better understand and hear what they were saying and see them better, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Yes, yes. So, the friendship training, this program, does it work for horses with serious behavioral issues?
Definitely. We seem to have run the full spectrum of horses that were emotionally and physically maligned by our present-day management care and training. We've seen violently aggressive, untrainable horses become soulmates with their human caretaker. Shy, fearful horses that would bolt to the other side of the pasture at the sight of a human now come running eagerly to their owner. The horses that were completely shut down once again found that spark of life and animation and joyfully engaged with their human at every opportunity. I'm often asked what we do with extremely aggressive horses that are dangerous. And that's the first mistake some people make that actually makes matters worse. Instead of doing something with them, we do nothing with them until they understand that we are unlike any other human they ever met and would never harm them.
That is incredible. Boy, soulmates with your horse. This just is so incredible. So, dangerous horses, yes. Can FT be done with a bowl?
Sure. But the best way to start a foal is to have an FT mother, because she's their first teacher. So it's best to start with them. After that, when they're started on solid food, they can easily start the FT journey.
What a wonderful way to begin their life. I truly hope this is the future of the equine human journey. Everything you've said has just touched my heart so much. And what's the question that you would most want to hear from someone coming to learn from me?
Question. Is there anything else I can learn or do to give my horse a joyful, stress-free life as possible? That would be the question.
That's easy. That's wonderful. It's not complicated, is it, Chuck? This is great. So if you had only 1 minute and you have all the horse world's attention, what would you say to capture the essence of your teaching?
I'd beg them to learn more about the world Mother Nature intended for the horses and how they perceive the domestic world they're trapped in, but to do so only from reputable ethological sources. To never be afraid to challenge the status quo, to never be intimidated by egotistical bullies when they see abusive training methods, and to never stop asking why. To understand that their dream horse has been right in front of them all along, that all they need is a little study and a lot of love to make that dream come true.
Their dream horse. Oh, that's wonderful. What do you need or would like to see happen to get your message to as many horse people as possible?
Well, all we need is exposure. More and more horse owners are becoming concerned caretakers and want more in their relationship with their horse and to give their horse the best life possible. They need to know that no matter where they are in the world, friendship training is there to help them accomplish that.
Wonderful. You know, I would love to do this again, Chuck. I know that we want to keep this short and in a timely fashion. I think you've just given us everything in a nutshell and a lot to think about. And thank you so much. I hope that the people that are listening to this send questions, send so that we can have many future topics to talk about. I'd love to see us do this again and again. And I just want to thank you for your lifetime of knowing and to thank you for the horses that have taught you so much. And I'm just thrilled. Thank you, Chuck.
Well, you're more than welcome.
And Chuck, most importantly, how can someone reach you?
My email address is naturalhorse101@aol.com. And the websites are equinefriendship.com and friendshiptraining.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really look forward to doing this again and again in the future as the questions pour in. And thank you in the name of the horse.
You're more than welcome.